the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name's Dan Latto. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. Great to hear from you and get all your feedback. Thank you very much for those. And if you're listening to all these back to back to back, then congratulations, well done. And thanks for taking me with you wherever it is that you take me with you, in the car, on the tube, in your bedroom. It all sounds a bit weird. So in this podcast episode, what I wanted to talk to you about was, are you committed to failure? And so I was just thinking about this. I've just been out for a run. It's I'm in Spain at the moment, but it's raining and it was spitting a little bit. And I've just started running again because I need to lose a little bit of weight. So I recognise that and I'm committed to losing weight. My diet's changing and I've already lost some weight, but I want to lose a bit more and get fit again, ready for summer, right? So I decided to go for a run and it's spitting a little bit. And if you remember the Peter Kay sketch, do you know Peter Kay? You know the comedian? It's spitting! Everybody in! Everybody in! So it was spitting a little bit and I thought, you know what? What the heck? I'm committed to losing weight. I'm committed to running. I want to be fitter and healthier for my basketball games. And so I'll go for a run. It's my second run of the week and I thought, what the heck? So I got changed, grabbed the dog, and we've got a black Labrador by the name of Bumble from Transformers, Bumblebee. So we go out running, and it's just spitting a little bit. And I thought, oh, it's not too bad, it's not too bad. Put some music on, listening to Marillion, unusual running music, I know, but anyway, it's what we do. So we ran down to a beach, and we ran along the beach, beautiful. It is raining a little bit, but it's fine. And then, oh my goodness, suddenly the heavens opened. And we're in Spain, right? So what happens in Spain is it's not like England where it just rains constantly for like 90%, a certain level of rain. You know, it's like it's just a constant level, isn't it? No. In Spain, it's either spitting or it's torrential. And this was pretty much a torrential downpour. So I pretty much just set off as half a mile into the run. So, and I wanted to get about 2 miles, 2.5 miles out. Not a huge amount. It's my second run that I've done in a number of months, and I thought, you know, take it nice and easy. Anyway, we continued, and we absolutely got soaking wet through. Absolutely soaking wet through. Came back, had a shower, a little bit worried that I might like get ill because it was cold and so on. But anyway, I'm back. And I was just thinking about the level of commitment that it takes, where other people who live in England, for example, they go running every day, come rain, sleet or snow, and they're like, you know, what a wuss, 2 miles sort of thing. And they came back because it was torrential. We do that every day. But that's because they're totally committed to their running. And it depends on how high up it is on that level of importance, doesn't it? So, for example, if I was training for a triathlon or a marathon or an Ironman, then you're right, I would continue through the sleet, snow and rain, whatever else is going to be thrown at me. So it depends on how your level of commitment is to success. But also, it's dependent on how your level of commitment is to failure. So, for example, if you're overweight right now, and there's a good chance that you might be, right? When we look at the average person in England, the majority of people are overweight in some way, right? So there's a good chance that you are. And if you are, you know that you are, right? You don't need me to tell you. And if you're not, then congratulations, well done. Stay that way if you can. But look, if you're overweight and you're happy, that's great. If you're happy in your body, that's perfect. So no one's trying to change that. But the key here is that you're happy as you are. And if you're not happy, then I would suggest you need to do something about it. So if you are currently overweight and you're not watching what you're eating, so if you're not keeping some kind of food diary of any kind, and if you've got donuts lined up in the, I mean, I love donuts. Like, who doesn't love donuts? Oh, Morrison's donuts rock, don't they? And they're so, like, 65 pence for 5. I know, because I was hovering over them last week, because I love donuts, right? So, so if you know you've got all these crisps and chocolate and donuts in the cupboard, like, you're not positioned best for you to lose that weight, I would suggest, right? Because all it takes is, like, a little mental drop, you know, for something to happen mentally and emotionally, and then, like, your guard drops and you go grab a chocolate bar and you eat that watching Netflix, right? I know it's easy to do because I do it myself, right? So, excuse me, no one's perfect on this, okay? But if you know that you've got that and you're overweight and you need to lose weight, and you need to get rid of that stuff. Now, if you don't get rid of that stuff and you're not committed to you losing weight, it's really as simple as that. And we've heard all the excuses. My husband wants them. Well, then you need to have a chat with your husband and go and get some support from your husband not to have that, or for him to hide those things in his car so that only he knows where they are. So it's a poor, poor excuse. And I've heard it before from family members, and it's just a terrible excuse. And if you've not got some sort of exercise regime, lined up, then again, you're not committed to losing weight. Now, if your weight is making you unhappy, then why are you not committing to losing weight? Like getting up and getting changed and going out for a run, it's painful. It's not just painful physically. I mean, I did my first run on Monday and I did 2.5 miles. It took me a while. It took me 30 minutes to do them. So slow run for me is that, really slow. I'm 43 now and I play a little bit of basketball, but not as much as I should do. And so that's a slow run for me. Oh my goodness, the next few days were horrific. The pain in my legs were really painful from onset muscle disorder, is it? Is that what it's called? ONS, I thought. Anyway, that's what I think it's called. And the pain in my muscles, because for the first time I've been used like that in such a long time. So yeah, it's painful. But the mental pain is even worse. Because for mental pain, my alarm went off at 7:15. Like, I get up at 8 o'clock, 8:15. To get up an hour earlier is painful for me. I like to go to bed late. I like to wake up late. It's just what I do. And anyway, I did it and I got up and I went for a run. That was really painful until I got out the front gate and then I actually managed to get out and go for a run, and then it was fine. But actually committing to doing that, or just going for a walk if you're too overweight to run, or even going swimming or out on a bike, like, it doesn't matter how overweight you are, to some extent anyway, but you can get out on a bike, right? You can get out walking, you can walk the dog, you can walk by the beach, walk in your local park 5 times. But the reason you don't do that is simply that you can't be bothered. Now, you would say that, well, I haven't got time. But it's like, if I give you 24 hours to live, unless you do some exercise, I'm pretty sure you'd manage to find some time. But that is the reality of the situation. I was on a plane last week going from England back to Spain, back to Alicante. It's what I call the Benidorm Express, or the Blue Rinse Express, because it's full of people over 60, 70, all going back to Benidorm for summer because we've been home for half term at Easter and so on. So I jump on that plane, and there was a guy and his wife was a little bit ill because she was having some sinus problems. And actually, normally I carry a little mixture of drugs in my bag of sinus problems and paracetamol and that sort of thing. And I had a look in my bag, and I usually have sinus tablets, and I didn't have any. I felt really bad about, because I couldn't help this woman. But anyway, but I was looking at her husband, and I would say he's about maybe 55 to 60 years of age. And he was a really big guy. He was a really big guy, and he had to stand up and get the bags out of the overhead locker because he was looking for some paracetamol or something just to help his wife, which was great. He couldn't find any. But just in doing that, this guy was totally out of breath. Totally out of breath. Now, interestingly, in England, I was reading, and even my kids know about this. So just recently, there has been a little test you can do to see if you're going to see if your probability of dying in the next 8 years is more than the average person. So the little test is where you just stood in the middle of a room, and then without using your hands, you go into a sitting position on the floor with your legs crossed. And then, so once you've gone down, and then you get back up, and every time you have to use a limb, like, if you have to put your leg out to steady yourself or a hand, then that's 2 points off your score. Something like, if you're more than 6 points, then your risk of death in the next 8 years is twice as high. And it's just a really simple test that anyone could do. And I had that in my mind when I was looking at this guy, and I thought, could this guy do it? And I thought, no, absolutely. And then I thought, could he do it if he was slimmer? And yes, of course he could, right? So, and it's the same for me. Could I do that test right now? Well, I could, but actually my knees are a little bit dodgy right now because of the I used to play a lot of basketball and I've got dodgy knees. So I would do it, but I would struggle. And I was testing it this weekend with the kids, and I did it, and I did struggle. And I was like, I've got to do something about that. So that was like the wake-up call for me. But that was like my level of commitment stepped up, because I was thinking about my kids, and I was like, do I want to live until they're 20 and 30 and got their own children? Of course I do. Who wouldn't want to do that? And then it occurred to me, well, if that's the case, then I need to start committing to a higher standard. But right now, I was committed to failure because I was eating donuts again. I was eating chocolate and crisps and Coke. And now I'm back to drinking 3 litres of water. I'm exercising almost daily. I'm eating clean again. I like meat. I'm not a vegetarian, so I eat meat. But I eat it with salad or mushy peas, which I enjoy, and mint sauce, which is one of your five a day, I'm pretty sure. Mint sauce is one of your five a day. I'm positive. So that was me upping my commitment. So this is the thing, you see, is that on my spreadsheet of all my properties and all my coaching clients, I've got one giant spreadsheet that covers all of it. And on that giant spreadsheet, I've got a tab, which is to talk about my weight. And on that, it's got my waist size. It's got my weight. Although I'm not a great believer in weight, by the way, because if you go to the gym a lot, your muscle weighs a lot more than fat does anyway. But it's an indicator, okay? Waist size is the biggest indicator that I look at. And so I lost some weight over Christmas, going into New Year, and then I've put some weight back on, and now I'm back into that weight loss. The reason I put the weight back on was I stopped my level of commitment. Didn't do any exercise, didn't watch what I was eating. And so my level of commitment was aligned to failure. So if you think about this, it doesn't matter what it is that you're thinking about. If you're thinking about your relationship and you know that you've got a problem in your relationship, you've got to sit down with your partner and work through those problems. Identify those problems and come up with a solution together that will help you eradicate those problems. So if you're not doing that, then you're simply not committed and that relationship's going to fail. It's really as simple as that. Your level of success equals your level of commitment to whatever it is that you want to do. So if it's weight loss, if you're not committed to going out and doing exercise and watching what you eat, then you're going to be overweight. In relationships, if you're not listening to the other person and finding out what it is that they want out of a relationship, and then you find a way to give them that, and likewise, they find out what you want and find a way to give you what you need out of a relationship, then that relationship's not going to work, is it? One or the other will go and find what they need from someone else, possibly. Or maybe they'll terminate the relationships in order to go out and find somebody else that can get them what they need. Like, I know that sounds awful and selfish and all the rest of it, but everybody does that. It's just what happens. And it's because the level of commitment in that relationship isn't there. So the other thing is that what we find as a coach is we get people who sign up for strategy sessions. And so it's amazing how many people, they sign up for a strategy session, but actually are not committed to solving that problem. So, for example, someone might sign up for a strategy session, it lasts for about 45 minutes, and we go and identify what the problems are. And then I work out what the solution is. And this is just how it works. And then we both know the solution, and then I show them how I can help with that solution. And then what happens a lot of the time, not a huge amount of time, but I don't know, maybe 50-50. The client then refuses to sign up for any continuing help. And so let's just take weight loss. I mean, I don't do weight loss as coaching, although we have had clients that we have helped as it happens. We've had clients do everything. We've had clients in divorce, but usually our main focus is property and business because that's what we do mostly. But let's just take relationships. Let's just take weight loss. So if you know that you're overweight and it's causing you health problems right now, and we identify that I can both help you, not as a personal trainer, because that's not the problem. It's actually mindset that's the problem. And I guarantee, by the way, that when someone signs up on a strategy session, it's mindset that they actually have a problem with. Sometimes it's knowledge, but usually it's knowledge for the first few sessions, and then it's actually implementing that knowledge. That's where most people get stuck. But if we identify that you've got a weight problem, and that's actually something that's preventing you from moving forward in other areas of your life because it's all interconnected. And then you don't sign up and get committed. And how committed are you to that weight loss? Let's just say that costs a couple of £1,000. Let's just assume that. Then how important is that weight loss? What you're telling me is that it's not important and more than a couple of £1,000. Well, surely you living longer is more important than a couple of £1,000. You getting your sex life back and getting into a relationship or getting out of an old relationship and into a new relationship is worth that money. You being happy once again is worth that money. You going out and being able to have the confidence to go and phone up the people who phone you back because you've dropped a whole load of leaflets about finding properties below market value. surely that's worth more than a couple of thousand. And what happens is people then say, no, no, I'm fine, I'll do it on my own. And then they come back 6 months later and go, yeah, I'll sign up now. And usually they've missed the opportunity because I'm either too full to take on more clients or the pricing's gone up. And then they have a little moan about the pricing going up. It's like, you should have taken it the first time around. This is what happens on a daily basis, by the way. It happens all the time. Because people are afraid to commit. They know they need to commit. And it's almost like, why not just take the shortcut route and just simply commit in the first place, rather than putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, and then committing. Because this is what most people do. And most people, what happens is, not most people, but many people come onto a strategy call and they expect me to sort out a lifetime of problems in 45 minutes. And you can't do that. It's just not possible to do. And so if you're committed to whatever it is that you're committed to, then you've got to step up to that level of commitment. And usually, the step up to that level of commitment, it will cost you something, right? Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes it's pain, like physical pain, like going for a run and doing some exercise, right? When you don't want to do it. Like, I didn't really want to go out in the rain and run. I really did not want to do that. But my level of commitment was greater than me going out in the rain or not. So if your level of commitment is greater than that, then you'll committed and you'll succeed. If your level of commitment falls short of that, then you're going to fail. It's a really easy indicator. But the other thing it's going to cost you is time. There's only three transactional ways of looking at what it's going to cost you. It costs you time, it costs you money, and it costs you effort. Now, if you're not committed to making those three investments into yourself, and so one of the things that we like to do with coaching clients, they come on board with maybe property coaching, and we do say, well, how's your health? Because we know that if you're, I don't know, 10 stone overweight, that's actually going to have an effect on your ability to carry out the work that we set, that we agree that you're going to do together. And actually, the reason you're overweight is a mindset issue, and actually, they're all interconnected anyway. The reason why you're not hitting the targets in your business or in your property is because you're also not hitting your targets in your weight management and in your relationship management. Right? So there's three main things there. There's like money and sort of financial wealth is that type of thing. There is body is that type of thing. And then there's relationships. Like, I know you could break it down further. You could say, well, being happy. But I guarantee if you get your body, your relationships and your money in place, you'll be happy anyway. Unless there's something else going on chemically that you need to see a doctor about, right? So you get those three things right. So most people, what they'll say is, they'll say, well, I'm depressed. And so I would say, okay, what are you depressed about? Well, I just got my credit card bill. Okay, so why are you depressed about that? Well, I can't afford it. So you're not depressed, you just can't afford your credit card bill. We've talked about this before on other podcasts. Actually understanding what the problem is. I'm depressed. Why are you depressed? Well, my husband goes out drinking every night. Oh, okay, so it's a relationship problem. You're not depressed. You have a relationship problem. But you just label it depression because that's the right thing to do. Is this making sense? Oh, I'm overweight and I'm depressed. Okay, so are you depressed or are you overweight? Well, I'm both. But are you depressed because you're overweight? So let's get you onto a weight loss system, strategy. Let's get you losing some pounds. When you start losing those pounds, pretty sure that you start to get happier. And then guess what? Your love life increases, potentially. I'm not saying that, by the way, that weight loss increases love life necessarily. But I'm pretty sure it does for some people. God, I'm being very politically correct today, aren't I? But you know what I mean. So these are the things that it takes. Now, how do we know about your level of commitment? It's simple. You're either going to sign up for coaching or you're not. If you sign up for coaching, we know that your first step of your commitment level is showing, right? We know that you're there. That's not the whole thing, though, is it? Because anyone, you know, and a couple of grand for some people might be like a lot of money. And a couple of grand for other people is like, it's just pocket change, right? So it's not necessarily the investment. It's the investment in the other two areas that we need as well. So it's the effort. What is the effort that the person's prepared to make to get the success that they want? And what's the time that they're willing to allocate to make this goal a reality? Now, if you're not prepared, so let's take weight loss again. If you're not prepared, so weight loss, does it take effort to lose weight? Of course it does. Does it take time to lose weight? Of course it does. It takes time to prepare the right foods, to go shopping like a week before and have a week's worth of food in so then you can plan what you're going to have, like a meal plan, right? Does it take time to go to the gym? Of course it does. Is it going to take some money, some investment in the right foods, maybe the right set of Lycra for the gym? Of course it is. So everything that you do, let's take relationships. Is that going to take time to sit down with your partner and go through a relationship? Yes. Is it going to take effort? Yes. Is it going to take money? It might take money because you might say, well, maybe we need a date night. Me and my wife still have a date night. We actually used to have one all the way through. As soon as we started dating, we went on a couple of training courses together and we implemented date night. And it was awesome, right? And then we moved to Spain and it's like every night was date night because living in Spain's awesome, playing board games on the terrace. And I'm actually pointing at the terrace. I know you can't see me, but I'm actually pointing to the terrace. So that was awesome. And then baby comes along and all that sort of thing sort of stops to some extent, especially, you know, we just had winter and so on. And last couple of months, we just started date night again and it's awesome. It's really awesome. We get a babysitter, someone who we know and who we love. And we have a babysitter and we go out and we have a nice meal and it's great. So does it take money? Yes. It can take some money. It doesn't have to take money because sitting on the terrace and playing board games rather than just sitting and watching Netflix, which we also do together as a couple. And we've just been watching Broadchurch, which is pretty cool. And we've been watching all sorts of stuff, right? So, and sometimes I force her to sit and watch my shit. And sometimes she forces me to sit and watch her lovey-dovey romantic crap. So mine's like sci-fi and zombies and hers is all like love and romance and, you know, the Time Traveller's Wife and that film. There wasn't a flux capacitor in sight. I was very disappointed in that film. But does it take time, effort and money? Of course it does. Being a property investor, does it take time to learn what you need to do? Of course it does. Does it take effort? Yes. Does it take money? You show me something that you need to do to become a better basketball player, for example. Does it take time? Yes. Does it take effort? Of course it does. Does it take money? You need the right pair of trainers. You need a basketball. You might need some tunage, you know, like a speaker to play some music out, which is what I do. I've got a funny story about that, actually, because I was down at the basketball court and I've got, it's called a jam box and it's this speaker and it's a Bluetooth speaker connected to my phone. And I was listening to Amazon Prime, which streams terribly. But on this particular day, it was streaming really well. And I was listening to NWA, which was like an old basketball song for me back when I used to play basketball in like late 80s, early 90s in Leeds. And the song that came on was a song called Fuck the Police, right? So, or Fuck Da Police, if you want to say it properly. So I was listening to that and I'm bouncing around, playing basketball, doing shooting practice, okay? Getting into rhythm to the music. It's really cool, really enjoyed it. Felt like I was down at Harlem. So bouncing around, listening to that, and I always make 100 shots, right? That's the plan. I do it in less than an hour, and some days I have good days and some days I have bad days because, you know, I'm practicing, right? Taking time and effort in order to make those shots. So anyway, this old guy comes along and he's stood there with his granddaughter and he's like in his 70s and his granddaughter's like 3, cutest little Spanish girl ever, you know. And she stood at the side of the court with a granddad watching me just doing some basketball practice. And she's dancing along to NWA. And it was just like, I couldn't stop the music because then you look like really bad. But obviously the Spanish, you see, so they don't know the words. And you'd think they know the F word by now. But they don't because I spoke to a referee and used it last week and he didn't have a clue what I said when I expressed my displeasure with his calls. Ended up getting a technical foul later on in that game. I had to express myself in some way, you know. But it was just funny, really, that there she is dancing along to NWA and Fuck the Police. It was very funny. Anyway, so wouldn't recommend you do that in England because they do speak English. So your level of commitment is really, really important. So, like, for me, I'm playing basketball again and I want to get better. I'm fed up of losing because the team loses. So I can make an impact on that team. So I'm out at the basketball court almost every day. It's raining at the moment, so I won't go today unless it dries up. If it does, then I'll go. Because my level of commitment is high. It's not high enough, by the way, to get soaking wet. I've played basketball in the rain. It's quite dangerous. It's easy to slip. And so my level of commitment to my health is greater than my level of commitment to improve, if that makes sense. But it's really an easy indicator as to how committed you are, as to whether you want success in whatever it is you want success in, right? Like, as I say, we've broken it down into three main areas. You've got relationships, you've got health, and you've got money, right? There are other areas, right? Don't get me wrong. I know there's other areas. Spirituality and religion. What else is there? There's other stuff. I'm thinking Tony Robbins' Wheel of Life, and I can't think what it is right now. There are other stuff on there, but fundamentally, you can break it down to three things. Now, are you spending a part of your day on each of those three things? Because I guarantee you're probably spending most of your day earning money. Like, if you get up and go to work, you've got a job. Guess what, folks? That's earning money, right? So that's what you're doing. So, and you know when people say, and people say this to me, all you think about is money. Money, money, money. It's all you talk about. And it's like, do you know, I at the moment I'm working maybe 20, 25 hours a week. I limit the amount of time that I work for money, right? So, and when I think about it, this last couple of weeks, it's definitely been less, been like 15 hours a week, right? So my commitment to making money, time-wise, is actually less than the average person, because the average person gets up and goes to work 40-hour weeks, 37 and a half hours. So when someone says to me, all you ever think about is money, that's actually rather incorrect, because they are spending more time at a job. And now you could say, well, they have to go to get a job because they have to earn money to pay for a mortgage. Yeah, absolutely. Of course we do. That's why we earn money, right? To put food on the table for the kids. But they're still working more hours than I am. But luckily, because I've made some investments, and this is what I want for you folks, is to make investments into the right type of assets, so that then you also don't need to spend all of your time making money, right? You can move. Now, this is important. How much time are you spending on your health every single day? Like, you've got 24 hours in a day, okay? Can you not spend 30 minutes of that to exercise? I'm pretty sure you can, okay? We've just bought, it's Sean T, who did P90 and Insanity. It's from Beachbody, the Beachbody workouts. And we've just bought a 10-minute training video thing for £40. And so we just bought that so that we can fit an extra 10 minutes in. So we can do that together as a couple. It's something that would be pretty cool. We used to go to the gym together, and it's something we'd like to do again. So, but we can do that in the front room, so we can work out there. So we just bought that. So like, if you say, oh, I haven't got time, it's just another bullshit excuse. Of course you've got time. You haven't got time for that. What, you got time for Netflix? I don't understand that. So, and I'm not saying that you turn Netflix off. You could do it while you're watching Netflix. Just knock out 100 push-ups. See how many push-ups you can do in a minute. Do that every single day, okay, for the next 30 days. I guarantee you get fitter. Push-ups. You might start with 3 push-ups in a minute. I'm actually about 50 push-ups, 50, 51 push-ups at the moment. I've not tested it for maybe a couple of months. But I used to be more than 60. I used to be like 65, 68 push-ups in a minute, something like that. So you can do more than one push-up in a second. Of course you can, as long as your stamina's there to keep on going. So for you to say, well, I haven't got time, of course you've got time. When you get up and go to the loo in the morning, just knock out as many push-ups in a minute as you can. I mean, that's it. That's your exercise done. That's a start, right? So we've talked about your earning money. We've talked about your health. What about your relationship? How much of that every day are you spending working on your relationship? Now, relationships, I don't necessarily think you need to do it every day, but certainly once a week for maybe 10 minutes, which is equivalent of a minute a day, more or less, isn't it? But most people never do this. Never, ever, ever do this. And then they wonder why. Imagine having a car, by the way, and never taking it in for a service. It's going to fail at some point, right? So your relationship is like this. If you don't take your relationship in for a service in an MOT, then it's going to fail at some point. You might recover from that failure, because at that point of failure, you then get counselling, or at that point, you actually have a conversation. And then you recover from that. And then you don't service it anymore. And well, it's going to fail again, right? So you've got health, relationships and money. If you're not servicing these, usually on a daily basis, as we just said, relationships not as much, then you're not committed to that. But if you can get those three things working really well, your level of happiness will increase exponentially. So we started this off by talking about your level of commitment to failure and about the indicators that you can tell as to whether you're committed to doing something or not. So if you know you should lose weight, but you're not doing anything to lose weight, then you're not committed to losing weight. Maybe you need a word with yourself. But also, if you know that there's a problem there and you can identify the solution and it's going to cost you some money, but you still don't sign up, then you're still not committed to solving that problem. Just being emotionally committed and being upset about being overweight or being in a bad relationship or not having enough money isn't enough. When those credit card bills come and you cry because you don't know where the money's going to come from, you're just emotionally committed. You're not physically committed. Have you got a spreadsheet with all that stuff written down so you can then plan your month? That's what the level of commitment is that you need. Okay, good 30-minute podcast there. Hope you enjoyed that one. I certainly enjoyed having a little rant about that. And it's just something that I wanted to cover after my run this morning. As usual, drop me some feedback. Love to hear back from you. And we'll catch up with you soon. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.